day to you. It's Friday, January 21st, 2005. Peter Oakley here, with Tame Bear in the studio of Oakley Home Pictures, where bears and people party together. We're listening to Tame Bear Radio, featuring the stories and commentary from our friendly bear, who this week is bringing you a recent story entitled The Ice Walk. And now for your listening pleasure. Ladies and gentlemen, here is Tame Bear.
Well, thanks, Pete. Good to be with you again this week. Regular listeners will know we're dedicating each of our podcasts to a different national forest. Winter in Carson National Forest is a special time for cross-country skiers and snowshoeing enthusiasts. Taos Ski Valley, Red River, and Tsipapu ski areas are all located on portions of the National Forest, providing exciting opportunities for downhill and Nordic skiing. One of five protected forests in New Mexico, Carson National Forest is spread across 1.5 million acres, with some of the finest mountain scenery in the Southwest, where elevations rise from 6,000 feet to over 13,000 feet at Wheeler Peak, the highest point in the state of New Mexico. With the winter conditions come some special cautions that allow us all to play safely in the woods. Skiers and snowshoers share trails with snowmobilers on many of the trails. Respect each other's rights to enjoy the forest in their own way. Snowmobiles must be operated at minimum speed near skiers or snowshoers, and must maintain minimum speed until well beyond those on foot. Skiers and snowshoers should also be alert for snowmobilers. Some trails are designated for skiers only, and some for snowmobiles only. The solitude of a winter forest is a delight to lone contemplation, but not recommended if you are inexperienced or unfamiliar with the high country terrain. Better to travel and enjoy the snowy season with others, and be sure to notify someone of your travel plans and when you expect to return. Beware of avalanches, which can occur at any time during the winter. Stay on the wind-blown side of ridges, and avoid crossing steep side hills and entering narrow, steep canyons. Keep warm and dry. Pack plenty of high-energy foods and carry your own water. Eating snow will not be able to replenish the 2 to 4 quarts you can lose in a day, and it will dangerously lower your body temperature. Hypothermia is a real concern under these conditions and is the number one killer of outdoor recreationists. Hypothermia is aggravated by wind, exhaustion, and water exposure from snow and perspiration. With these cautions in mind, I hope you make time to enjoy the great outdoors of Carson National Forest during the winter months with your family and friends. And now it's time for my essay of the week. I should start by telling you about the wool socks. Trish is a big believer in wool socks, and she wears them all year round, regardless of the weather or temperature. Even throughout our muggy Indiana summers, Trish swears by her wool socks. A few years back, she bought a half dozen pair for me, thick wool socks of a good quality that she found at Gones, the Amish department store in Middlebury. At first, I was not inclined to wear them. But if you recall my previous podcast about losing weight, you'll understand that my feet had trimmed down a bit too, and were just a tad too small for my boots. That's when I first began wearing the thick wool socks Trish had given me. And now I can tell you why wool socks are so amazing, because I am now one of the true believers, just like Trish. Wool socks can absorb a lot of moisture, and even when wet, they moderate to your body temperature. So in the coldest winter, your feet stay warm, and in the hottest summer, your feet stay cool. I wouldn't have believed before, even though this is what Trish had been telling me for years, but it's true. I have a nice pair of leather boots that I've been wearing this winter. They aren't exactly waterproof, but if it's well below freezing, the snow doesn't melt on them and they keep my feet warm and dry. They're good for hiking, and as I've mentioned before, I do a lot of walking. Last week, Trish and I were walking along the Mill Race, a trail of about 3 miles that runs from the college north into town. We'd had a thaw, after some pretty heavy snows, and the Elkhart River was overrunning its banks in some places. From the raised dike of the Millrace Trail, we could see a large expanse at the bend in the river, where the high water had completely flooded a meadow and was a glassy sheet back as far as we could see into the woods. But it's January, and we imagined that in a few days it would be bitter cold again, and perhaps we could go skating there on the Shanklin Park Pond. Sure enough, within days it was snowing again, and any areas where the floodwaters had been were now covered several inches deep in glittery down. Yesterday evening, a light snow was falling. We decided to walk into town for an evening coffee at the Electric Brew before going to our local Earth Group meeting at the depot. Round trip, that's a longer walk of about 6 miles, but we looked forward to a late night hike through the snow. By the time our meeting was over, it had stopped snowing and the moon was peeping through the clouds, making the night bright. We decided to walk home along the woodland path beside the river. It meets up with the Millrace at Shanklin Park. For some reason, the image of the flooded meadow at Shanklin Park had faded from our memory. Even as we trudged across a field towards the river crossing, with the sound of ice crackling beneath our feet, we had no sense of impending danger. We crossed the footbridge over the river and entered the woods at the river's edge. We could make out some tracks here in the moonlight, possibly deer. At a low spot in the trail, it became clear that some water was flowing across our path, but it was mostly sheeted over with ice, and we could see where the tracks of the deer had picked a safe route across the short distance. On the riverside, some small trees with shelves of ice skirting their base offered deceptively solid footing as we made our way forward. In the spotty moonlight, it was difficult to tell just where the level of the river was compared with our trail. Abruptly, we arrived at the breach where the water was seeping between the trees and flowing across the trail. It was obvious we would have to leap to get across. I went first. It was a short distance. I jumped, landed, and my feet broke through a layer of ice, plunging into cold water. I took several more rapid steps forward and made it to solid ground. But by then, my boots were soaked through. In my wake, I had left a path of broken ice separating me from Trish on the other side. We took some minutes to assess this new situation. She quickly decided not to follow. But I didn't see how I could get back the way I'd come, and we discussed our options. She could return back over the bridge and take the long way around the woods and home along the avenue at street level. And I could continue on this side of the river to Shanklin Park, and hopefully this was the lowest point in the trail. But I was now remembering the spreading waters we had seen just the week before near the Shanklin Park pond. We decided that Trish would wait there while I explored further along the trail to see if I could make my way through. I headed off warily down the path for perhaps 50 yards. I was now much more aware of the icy crackle beneath my feet, and of a dawning awareness that I really did not know where the river's edge ended and the trail began in the moonlight. A deepening uncertainty about just how high the river might have risen the week before, and how much flowing water might actually be separating me from the solid ground below. Very soon I had come upon another, much larger breach of the trail, and this time I could hear the ominous sound of water flowing off into the woods. The river was still flooding. I could go no further, and I turned back up the trail, making my way back to where Trish was waiting. I had a couple minutes then to think about what I had to do. I would need to somehow dash across that break in the ice. This time, I knew my feet would get wet again, but there was nothing else to do. As I approached the break, I told Trish I was coming back across, and I moved rapidly along the river edge, clinging to the trees for support. I stepped onto the broken slabs of ice, which began sinking, stepping, frantic, slipping, splashing, stretching, reaching. Trish couldn't bear to watch the pitiful sight as I made my way back to surer ground. I had sunk nearly to my knees, and icy water flowed freely down into my boots. Which brings us back to the wool socks. The icy water soaked my wool socks through and through. Standing next to Trish, I could feel the weight of the water that filled my boots. But wondrously, the icy cold faded rapidly to a gentle warmth as the wool did its thing, forming an insulating blanket around my sopping feet. A minute later, and my feet were not even cold. We hiked back over the footbridge and made our way home through the dark streets. We crossed the river once more at street level at the Plymouth Bridge, and were home a half hour later. By then, the legs of my jeans had frozen into solid tubes of ice. But my feet, though wet and still squishing water in my boots, were really quite warm. I dried my boots on the living room stove and propped my feet up before the warmth of the fire. As I warmed up again, I considered thoughtfully that we had been quite lucky. When I was sinking up to my knees in the icy water, skating across a slab of ice, I reflected, stepping across that break ice, I had not felt the slab touch bottom. That's our story for today. Sounding a note of caution during these months of ice and snow, I hope you've enjoyed listening. We'll be back again soon with something better. I'm Tane Bear, inviting you to write with your own stories or audio comments. Email them to tanebear@wisdomroad.com. I'm Tane Bear, wishing you the humble satisfaction and wisdom of a life well lived. Have a fine weekend and a spectacular week ahead.
Today's episode of Tane Bear Radio is supported in part by your purchases at the Wisdom Road Shop. Handsomely framed images are merged with the timeless words of wisdom from the great thinkers in literature, science, religion, history, politics, and the arts. Adorn your walls with inspirational Wisdom Road images at home and at work. Use the convenient new search feature to find pictures and words that hold special meaning for you, your friends, and your family. Visit and shop at www.wisdomroad.com. Tane Bear Radio is a production of Oakley Home Pictures. This podcast is available for use under the Creative Commons audio sampling license. You are welcome to take and use pieces of it in your podcast. Thanks for listening.